So today is the 18th Sunday after Pentecost. For the readings today, the epistle is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Corinthians. Brethren, I give thanks to my God always for you, for the grace of God that is given you in Christ Jesus, that in all things you are made rich in him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that nothing is wanting to you in any grace, waiting for the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who also will confirm you unto the end without crime and the day of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please stand for the gospel, which is taken from that of St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus, entering into a boat, passed over the water and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him one sick of the palsy, lying in a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the man sick of the palsy, "Be of good heart, son, thy sins are forgiven thee." And behold, some of the scribes said within themselves, "He blasphemeth." And Jesus, seeing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, 'Thy sins are forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." Then said he to the man sick of the palsy, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house." And he arose and went into his house, and the multitude, seeing it, feared and glorified God, who had given such power to men. Thus are the words of today's gospel. Please be seated. I believe in the remission of sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. One of the most beautiful titles we give to our Lord is the Divine Physician. He is a doctor who heals souls. And we see this divine physician acting in the gospel today. He heals the sickness of this paralytic that is brought to him, this bodily sickness. And we see him healing similar sicknesses all throughout the gospel. But always his first concern is the sickness of soul. And that is what he first looks at. And we can easily see him as he looked on this paralytic in today's gospel, looking past the disease of his body, looking into the very depths of his soul, into his heart, and seeing the sickness that is there from sin. And we would have expected, when they brought this paralytic to him, for him to say, "Take up thy bed and walk." But no, our Lord, looking first to his soul, he says, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven thee." This divine physician being concerned first and foremost for the health of the soul, by relieving this man of sin, he sees that far graver misery of the soul first and foremost, that misery which leads to eternal death and hell. And our Lord's words, forgiving this man's sins, they anger the Pharisees. And that the anger and the thoughts of the Pharisees, they are a great lesson to us. They say he blasphemeth. He's forgiving sins, but who can forgive sins but God alone? And they were exactly right. Only God can forgive sins. And that makes perfect sense. Almighty God is the one offended by a sin. So how could any other person except the one offended forgive it? No one else can forgive on God's behalf. God has to be the one to give that forgiveness. It'd be similar to a son who insults his father. One of his brothers couldn't just say to him, "Well, I forgive you." It makes no sense. The father was the one offended. It's for the father to say, "I forgive you." So yes, the Pharisees were exactly right. Only God can forgive sins. And it is, they lacked, they fell short in the conclusion. Well, if this man says, "Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven," and only God can forgive sins, what is the conclusion? This man is God, and he proved it in many ways through his miracles, and that's why he worked so many miracles. And that's why in this miracle in particular, he says, "Son, thy sins are forgiven thee," and then he says, "Take up thy bed and walk. I will heal your body," in order to show those standing around that I can heal your soul, that I truly have power to forgive sins because I am God. So he uses this power to heal souls. And this power is greater than any other miracle that he works. It is the greatest of all miracles. All of the healings which our Lord accomplishes in the gospel, even raising others to life, even greater than the creation of the world, this power of forgiving a sinner is much greater than all of these. Why? Because in all of these things, our Lord is only giving a natural life, the life of the body, health to the body. But by forgiving sins, our Lord is giving supernatural life. He is infusing in that soul divine life. So it is an almighty power which is working here. And all of his external miracles, they're only to prove the fact that he can heal souls as well, this divine physician. So if only God can forgive sins, where does that leave us now? When our Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, are we stuck? Who do we turn to receive this forgiveness of sins? Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the morning of his resurrection, he went to the apostles. He entered and he said, "Peace be to you." And then he went to each of them and he breathed on them and he gave them the Holy Ghost. "Receive the Holy Ghost. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. And whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." He bestowed on his priests this power now to forgive sins. They are going to act in his name. So certainly it is Almighty God who is forgiving, yet these priests are his instruments in granting that forgiveness. And so it is when you go to confession and the priest says with his own mouth, "I absolve thee from all thy sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." He is only the mouthpiece of our Lord. When he says, "I," it is not the priest himself. It is our Lord Jesus Christ who is forgiving sins. Just as in the Mass when he says, "This is my body," it is not his body. It's not the priest's body. It's our Lord Jesus Christ's body. In the confessional, it is our Lord Jesus Christ himself who is forgiving you of your sins. He is sitting on the other side of the grate. He is hearing your sins. He is forgiving those sins through his priest. There is a story of a miraculous crucifix in Spain. There was a penitent who kept falling into the same sin. And so this priest, who was hearing his confession, doing the best as he could, he mistook this continual fall into sin as a sign that he wasn't sorry for his sin. And so he gently told the penitent, "I'm sorry, I can't forgive you. I can't give you absolution." But our Lord, seeing the heart of this penitent, wanted to have mercy on him, seeing that it was only through weakness that he kept falling. So he made the crucifix there near the confessional come to life. The corpus came to life, and the hand came off and said, and our Lord said to the priest, "If you will not forgive him, then I will." And he started giving him the absolution. So many things to learn from this story. But certainly we see in it the fact that our Lord is the one acting in confession. He works this divine power to forgive sins. Yes, the priest, he is our Lord's instrument, and yet he has to use his human judgment in hearing confessions. Our Lord Jesus Christ wanted us to go to a man. Of course, he could have forgiven sins directly, but he wanted us to go to a human being for many reasons. He wanted us to submit to a man because by sin we have committed pride. We have put ourselves above Almighty God, and so he makes us humble ourselves. And that is why a verbal confession, going into the confessional and saying all of your sins, it's necessary. The priest there acts as a judge. He tries to judge, does this person have the dispositions necessary to receive the forgiveness of our Lord Jesus Christ? And if so, he gives the absolution. And unfortunately, that's a stumbling block. The fact that we have to go to confession and confess to the priest all of our sins, it's a stumbling block to many because it's very difficult. Understandably, the more difficult, the more shameful things we have to say. And that's why perhaps what has led many Protestants to fall into the error of saying that all we need is to confess to Almighty God in our heart That's all that's necessary. And unfortunately, the Novus Ordo has gone that direction, giving general absolutions, no longer asking penitents to go to the confessional and to verbalize all of their sins to the priests. No, we have to believe in the forgiveness of sins, which is there. It is difficult. But this is how our Lord has instituted the sacrament of confession. But we have to understand clearly, our Lord Jesus Christ, in instituting the sacrament, he was being merciful. The confessional, it's a tribunal, it's a court. But it's a court of mercy. It's not a court of justice. You go into the confessional and you accuse yourself. I accuse myself of these sins. And if you have the right dispositions, you will always receive mercy. It's a court of mercy, not of justice. And that is the idea that our divine physician has had in instituting the sacrament. He wants to have mercy in the confessional. But he has to balance that. We have to understand, when our Lord instituted confession, it wasn't to make it difficult on us. No, it was to forgive us. Which means that the confessional is a remedy. The fact that we have to say all of our sins, that's a remedy in itself. If you think, when you go to confession and you say all of your sins and you hear from the priest, I absolve you from all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Go in peace. You are absolutely certain your sins are forgiven. Those sins are gone. They no longer exist in Almighty God's mind. He doesn't look upon them anymore. They are gone. What a mercy our Lord has had on us. These poor Protestants, and I know one personally who has said this after he converted, the most difficult thing was always questioning, am I forgiven? Yes, I confess my sins in secret to Almighty God. In my heart, I say, yes, I'm a sinner. But I'm always doubting, am I forgiven? Am I really forgiven? We don't have to worry about that because our Lord gave us the confessional where we hear the words, you are forgiven. I forgive thee of all thy sins. Peace be to you. And it also helps us to realize the malice of sin. If we didn't have to verbalize our sins, how easy it would be to continue committing them. How often when we think, I have to go confess that. If I do this, I've got to go to confession and tell a priest. And that's humbling, so I'm not going to do it. It's preventative. And it helps us to see that we can't just commit sin and think there are no consequences for it. No, our Almighty God demands this formal apology. Go to the confessional and accuse yourself of what you have done so that we're not getting off the hook. So yes, let us keep always in mind that this confessional, it's merciful and it heals our soul. It's the way that this divine physician heals our soul. And look at what the church does to make it as easy as possible. She trains her priests for 7 years, and she continually reminds them in the ritual and all throughout to be merciful, to be meek. She trains her priests to make sure that when you go to the confessional, it's not burdensome to you, more burdensome than it has to be. The seal of confession, what you say there stays there. The priest must die before he gives up that secret. I believe in the remission of sins. To receive the fruits of confession, though, we need to make sure we confess well, which means first and foremost that it's integral, that we confess everything as far as mortal sins go. We have to confess all mortal sins, their number, the type of sin that it was, and the circumstances which might change it. And you know that from your catechism, but it's good to remember. All mortal sins must be confessed inasmuch as we remember them, the number of times and with the circumstances. With venial sins, we don't have to confess all of them. Our confession has to be accurate, so we can't be ambiguous, and we can't be general. We have to say what we've done and not try and skirt around. The priest sits in the confessional to hear sins. What is the point of going to the confessional and hiding behind an ambiguity and hiding and trying to deceive the priest? What's the point? The priest sits there to hear your sins so that he can be our Lord's instrument to forgive you. Why hide a sin? Why cover it up and try and make it seem less bad than it is? We cannot be ambiguous. We have to be accurate with our accusation. We have to be brief. Father Peak said in the seminary, a murderer can have killed thousands of people, and it only takes 6 seconds to say it in confession. I murdered 1,000 people. Just pointing out that we need to be brief. We need to say what we've done accurately. We don't need to go into detail, and we need to be careful not to go into detail in certain matters. Just say what we've done and leave it at that. We need to be simple and humble as well. Accuse ourselves, not excuse ourselves. Always keep that in mind. You go to the confessional to accuse yourself. St. Augustine said, accuse thyself and God will excuse thee. Excuse thyself and God will accuse thee. Go to the confessional to accuse thyself so that you can receive mercy from this divine physician. Yes, always keep faith in that. I believe in the remission of sins. The divine physician sits in the confessional now, waiting to hear your sins so that he can forgive them, so that he can say to you, and you can receive peace from this, be of good heart, son, thy sins are forgiven thee. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.